Welcome. This week's show with Karen Kluba of Rosewood Manor is sponsored by Sassy Jack Stitchery. Lots going on at Sassy Jack's these days. If you are going to participate in our October 11 meditative stitching series of shows, you can now get Cosmo Thread colorways for the basket weave, the Avlia basket weave design from Sassy Jack's. And in there, Kim has put together a blue colorway, a blue fiber talk colorway in Cosmo Threads, just for me. But you can get it too. Call Kim right away and get that ordered so that you'll have it in time for October 11 show at 2 p.m. Eastern. That, and she has put together colorways that match what Krista West at Avlia put together in DMC, only in Cosmo Thread, if you want to give Cosmo Threads a try. Also, don't forget the new Sassafras sampler design, Christian Henry 1816. Kim has the chart and kits, various types of kits with linen, different kinds of linen available. Also, if you want to expand your horizons, do check out the Learning Stitches online course. That's ongoing, but you can join at any time and easily catch up. And it's an excellent way to learn new stitches and just kind of get some new experiences. Also coming up is the Sassy Jack's 2020 Tree Trimming, and that's a program where you send an ornament to Sassy Jack's, and then you get 15% off of a single purchase in January or February, and you can get all the details on the Sassy Jack's site at sassyjackstitchery.com. And then I know this seems early, but the Valentine's Day Exchange, the big Valentine's Day Exchange 2021, that due date, and this isn't so early now, that due date is January 22. So you submit a small, and you have to do it from a Jeanette Douglas Plum Street Samplers or Summer House Stitchworks chart. You submit a small, and you get a finished small in exchange, plus a surprise gift from Kim. So that's January 22. So if you're going to participate in that Valentine's Day exchange, you want to get going so that you can meet that January 22 deadline. And, of course, that's early just to give Kim a chance to make the exchanges and get things shipped back out. So check that out, all at Sassy Jack Stitchery. And then, of course, a complete line of just about everything you can imagine in stitching and many more upcoming online courses and some live courses starting next year. Looking forward to the one with Jeanette Douglas in May. So all of that at sassyjackstitchery.com. And we appreciate Kim and the good folks at Sassy Jack's for sponsoring the show. And now we'll enjoy our conversation with Karen Kluba of Rosewood Manor. Welcome back. I'm Gary Parr, and you're listening to Fiber Talk, the twice weekly podcast for needlework artists. And our artist this week, Karen Kluba, Rosewood Manor. Hi, Karen.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing okay. It has been ages, well, not ages since we talked, but ages since we did a show. I looked it up. You were guest show number 56.
Oh, wow, really?
February 2018.
Wow.
And
with things going on today, that sounds like ages.
I know, I know. Yep. Well, and this is guest show number 181. And then Wednesday shows, midweek shows, there's 160 and change of those.
Wow.
So, and at the time, I don't think we were doing Wednesday shows. So, yeah, number 56. And then what hit me was the date was February 2018, because I don't think about doing these podcasts that long. And if we had done 56 of them, by then, it's like, oh my, I've been doing this a long time. So, yeah.
You have.
Yeah. Yep. A lot of people. So, yeah. And of course, we've seen each other at the Nashville show. And, but yeah, I couldn't believe it. 56. That was when it was. So, yeah.
Wow. Wow.
So, if people want to know about Karen's career and life and all that, go back and listen to that one because we're not going to talk about that this time. So.
We've had enough of that.
Yeah, that's been covered. Been covered, yep. You do, I mean, I'm a fan, but
Thank you.
Your catalog of designs is, I mean, at some point is massive. And
it, yeah, there's yeah. over 300.
Is that what
yeah.
it is?
Yeah, it's over. I don't know the exact number anymore, but it's over 300 somewhere.
Because like at your Nashville shows, when you, and I'm, there's no way you're showing all of them, but
no,
you know, your room is just packed with designs. I mean, I could spend 2 hours in there just going over them. And so 300, does
yeah.
that, as you go through the all those years of 300, how is it that you don't run out of ideas? Do they just keep coming to you? Do you have slumps?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, I guess so. I really never know exactly where they're going to come from. I mean, but yeah, there seems to be always something else. And people say to me every once in a while, so do you have any plans for retirement? And I said, no, not until I run out of ideas. So I guess I'm not retiring anytime soon. So I'm okay for a while yet.
Yeah. No, I just would, at some point, because artists are artists and they have ideas and they see things and they have to get them down in whatever medium they're using. But, I just would think at some point you'd run out of ideas, but then you don't. And just when it looks like you're going down one path, then you'll have designs that come from a completely different perspective.
Right.
And,
well, there's lots of reasons for that, really. Part of it is that, like, for example, lately I've been, for whatever reason, focused on fall, autumn type things. I know it's the time of the year, but I don't always design in the time of the year that I'm living in. This time I am, for whatever reason, but I've been doing all those. They may not, by the time they're put into my computer as a design and stitched by me or one of my model stitchers, and then I get it back from them, get it all completed, get it into a book and everything. Sometimes there's almost a year lead time there. So I may not, that's why they come in different spurts. It's whatever I'm feeling at the time is what I design and put in the computer. And then whenever it gets stitched, then it finally gets to be an actual pattern for the customer. So that's part of the reason why it bounces around so much. And I don't know, I don't want to design the same way every time, because everybody likes something different, which is the fun of life. So I try to see if I can just do things that make me happy, and then hopefully it does someone else as well. So,
well, okay, and that's interesting in itself, because you hear that from musicians, recording artists, where,
right.
I do the music I enjoy. And
yeah.
If you happen to like it, then yay for both of us. But if not, it's still the music I enjoy. It's the art I enjoy. And
right.
That's what I'm going to do. So that's how you view it then.
I do. I do. And sometimes it's I'm inspired by colors. Other times it's having a conversation with somebody. Sometimes it's... I'll tell you one I thought was really funny that I just did lately is there was a friend at a party at our condo in Florida. I'm in Michigan currently, but we're going to Florida soon. But anyway, so we were at our condo at a party, and one of the gals there was celebrating her birthday, and another friend of hers gave her this huge coffee cup full of these really pretty flowers. And I was sitting kind of back behind her, and I looked at that and I thought, I'm going to make a design like that. So you don't really, I mean, you have no idea what's going to happen and where this is going to come from. So I just write it down or put a little note in my phone or, you know, somewhere where I can keep it. And sometimes I think, no, that's not going to work after all. And other times I go, oh, that was a good idea. Let's do that. So it just depends. You never know.
Yeah. I got to believe for you, a phone these days is a powerful tool. take a picture quickly. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. 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 Well, it's between the photographs and the, like I said, being able to put a note in there and not have to carry around a pen and a paper all the time is kind of nice. So, you know, and I can kind of describe my ideas enough to be able to go back to my computer then and figure them out. Most of the time I do keep a little, I don't want to say sketchbook because it's not remotely that. It's just a little notepad beside my bed too, so that if I wake up in the middle of the night with an idea, I can jot it down and then see if it really does work the next morning. But
you actually write them down.
Some of them I do. Most of them are in my phone, but I do write them down too.
You're supposed to say I'll remember them and then get up in the morning and say, I don't remember.
Yeah. No. I learned that a long time ago. No, that just makes me crazy. So no. Then I spend all day not doing anything but thinking about it. So it doesn't work.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. That saves a lot of time then.
Yep. Right.
So. Do you go through? So now it's interesting to know, like, your blue period, when we see your blue period of designs. That happened a year ago. Okay, so that's good to know.
Yeah. That does happen. Yes. I recently did a whole series of things. Well, still being worked on, but a whole series of monochromatic things because I just decided that it was fun to play around with the floss color to see. Some of them I did with DMC, but some of them I did with Weeks, so it's more variegated. And just for the fun of being able to sit there and just purely stitch and not have to change colors. Mm-hmm. And so I designed a whole series of those, but they haven't even gotten in print yet. So it's coming, but it's not there yet.
Yeah. Well, there's something about those designs. I've really found those to be, and I haven't finished a one, but I have two or three in the works. It's a nice release. Mm-hmm. I have a couple of modern folk embroidery, Jacob DeGroff. He does all his, virtually all of his are one color.
Yeah.
And it's a nice mental release to be able to sit there and just this thread, this cloth, and go.
It is. And it's amazing how fast it can go because you don't have to figure out the color keys so that you know this color goes with that symbol and then make sure you have it right. And yes, it can really be relaxing sometimes. Yeah. I don't want to do it all the time because I like the challenge of putting the colors together. I'm designing one now that again, won't be out for a while yet, but it has lots of color changes in it. And mm-hmm. I just feel like I'm painting with my needle because of all the color changes. It'll probably drive everybody crazy, but it's all so worth it. I love the colors. So I hope everybody likes it as much as I do, but it's been really fun to do too. So it depends on the mood I'm in and whether I want to do all that or just simply stitch.
Yeah.
So
when you're doing single color, does that present for you a different challenge in that you have to do something with the design and color can't help you?
Yeah. Because especially, I don't know, I like to play with the Quakers, as you know, the Quaker motifs.
And yeah. You've done a couple. Yeah.
Yeah. Just a few. I had so much fun finding bits and pieces of those, and it depended on what color that you used, where, what you saw in the design, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. And to then take it down to one color was strange for me to do, but I finally went, okay, I got to ignore that part because otherwise I'm not going to do this at all. Mm-hmm. And once I got it done and started working on it, I really did enjoy it. But so I don't know, like I say, it's the mood for me personally that I'm in, whether I design and what I stitch on any given day.
Yeah.
So
when you're doing that, does a switch flip and you go, You, like you say, I can't deal with color. So a switch flips and you go, all right, oh, wait, now I start to see what I can do with a design without color. Do you go down another path?
Well, yeah, because, well, they all have to speak to me in some way, shape, or form. So, yeah, like I said, I know sometimes maybe I guess whenever I'm designing and whenever I'm stitching it, like I said, it's the monochromatic ones are whenever I don't really want to have to think about things and just
okay.
Do. And, you know, really sometimes whenever I'm doing those, because my mind does wander, I get ideas for other things that I want to do. So again, my phone or my little book that I have my ideas in, between the two, I'll write them down and maybe do them later. So,
okay.
I don't know. That's just weird, but that's me.
Well, no, I don't. I think it's interesting because then that tells me that working in monochrome then releases part of your brain to go work somewhere else.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's a good way to put it.
Yeah. So that's fun in its own right. So then two design paths are working parallel here. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I always tell, because I do big samplers as a rule, although I'm just doing some smalls, but because I do large samplers, people say, why do you have to make everything so large? I said, because I have a lot to say. It's the only excuse I have.
Yeah. Well, you do large ones, but then is there a process there? You have a lot to say, but then you have to contain yourself so it doesn't get to be too much?
Yeah. Although sometimes I really get really carried away, like the 101 awful bets and trip around the world and some of those ginormous ones. Yeah, then there's no stopping. You just keep going until you go, all right, I got to stop now. It has to be, or it won't fit into my computer anymore. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, and I got to believe over the years and the number of designs that you have, there's a group of people who stitch your work for whom that is exactly what they're looking for.
Well, apparently, thank goodness. But yeah, I some people at shows will get into a conversation and they say, why is everything so big? Can't you do any smalls? And again, I tell them I have a lot to say, but I am starting to try to do a few that way. I've just done a couple of smalls. Well, I had a whole, I don't know what was 11 or 12 of them with buttons and that kind of stuff, which are selling. And then I decided to do some more. Most of these have been Halloween, but my coffee cup one I just talked about with the flowers is going to be in there. So they're smalls, and they're, instead of big booklets or even leaflet size, they fit into a 6x9 bag. So they're folded. They're much smaller and much, you know, less expensive, much less involved. But they're fun. I mean, I've done two Halloween ones. The Cats on a Pumpkin and Tools of the Trade is one that's new. And those were finished by my finisher into little pillow type things, and they were really fun. Part of it was the finishing, and I don't like to do that, but luckily she's really good at it, so I send them to her and say, do your thing.
Yeah,
so that's nice to be able to do. But yeah,
so on those smalls, when you finish it, you go, wait a minute, how can it be over so quickly? It's got to be more.
Yeah, but I've got a whole pile of them now in my little basket to do. So I'm thinking that I just go from one to the other, and all of these, most of these, other than the coffee one, are pumpkin type things with something on them, and they're, so I think they're just going to be fun, and I can get them stitched in a couple of nights. Maybe three, depending on how involved I got that pattern. But but anyway, so that's fun. But I think it's, you know, some stitchers really need that satisfaction of completing something. So they go for smalls.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, so, there is something. I mean, I think it's a mixture is always good. Some big ones and some small ones, and every now and then you actually finish something. Yes.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. How much stitching do you get to do these days? Do you?
I actually stitch pretty much every evening from about 7 until midnight. I like to sleep in the morning and stay up late at night. So I usually do approximately 5 hours every evening. That's, you know, sometimes more, sometimes less, but that's my usual thing. So yeah, during the day is designing and, you know, doing whatever needs to be done to process orders or for distributors or shops or my website. So it's a little bit of everything during the day, including sometimes babysitting grandchildren, which is really fun, but you know, gotta have those things in there too.
Yeah, you do. That's right. Yeah. Yeah. Well, so you're getting a good chunk of stitching in. Is it always on your designs, or do you go off and do other things just to have some variety?
No, I'm usually doing my designs. I used to have, at one point, I had, I want to say, about 20 stitchers. Some of them stitched really fast, maybe 3 out of those 20. The other ones stitched really slow. So I filled in the blanks. Now I'm down to 3 people. One lady is super fast. She's insane. I love her to death. She's just great. So she stitches really fast. And then the other couple are slower, but that's okay. They're doing their thing. And, you know, life goes on. Everybody has lives they have to attend to. So, but I like to do it. I like to keep my hands busy. Otherwise, I'm going to sit in front of the TV and go to sleep every night and then not be able to sleep whenever I actually want to sleep. So it helps keep me awake and keeps me at my hands busy and doing something all the time. So,
yeah, I have to watch that because my stitching table and stand are behind my recliner.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. And so do not sit in that recliner because then I don't get up. Yeah, yeah, exactly that. Watch TV, fall asleep, then go to bed and then don't sleep. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
No,
right.
Go sit in the chair and stitch. And...
Well, see, I use a 4-inch embroidery hoop, so I can stitch anywhere.
Oh, okay.
I mean, that's all I use. I don't have a stand. I don't have any of that stuff. I have a chair, and I stick all my needles into the arm of my chair and all that. I have to pick them all up when the grandkids come. But otherwise, they just stay there. That's my seat, and nobody gets near it. So.
Or they get stabbed, yeah.
Yeah.
But now, all right, a four-inch hoop, why so small?
Well, it originally was because I was taking it in the car and on the airplane when we travel over to mostly the UK, but whenever we travel, I could tuck all that into, you know, a stitch bag and just take it all with me. And it wasn't big and it didn't get in everybody's way. And, you know, so that's what I did. And once I got used to it, I just kept on. I mean, even the large piece, do you remember the ABC tapestry one, that really huge one?
Yes, yes.
I did the entire, I stitched all that myself, and I did every bit of it with my 4-inch hoop moving it around.
Wow.
Yeah. I know, everybody thinks I'm crazy, but it's what I got used to. So,
yeah.
You know, it's whatever works for you, really.
Yeah.
You know, I have people ask me that on emails every once in a while or on Facebook and ask me that. And most of them go, seriously, that's what you use. And a couple of people said, I'm going to try it. And they actually liked it. I swat all that fabric up in my hand and keep on going. So I don't know.
I've never been able to do that, but there's a certain mobility to that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I should probably try, because then sitting in the recliner, I would actually stitch. I should probably try that.
Well, it's worth a try. Not everybody likes it, but I do. And you know, if you are stitching more normal size pieces other than that huge one, it's not really that bad for yeah. using that. I just don't like to flip the frames around and have to figure out the, you know, how to get the needle in the back. And I don't know. I just find it easier, but
meh. Well, it's interesting because everybody has their own way.
Yeah.
And they all get to the same spot, but they have their own way. And
right.
Yeah.
Right.
So what has happened to you as a designer through all these months of quarantine? Has it been better for you, worse, or not made a difference?
A little bit of everything, I guess. When it first started, I was in a bit of a panic thinking, oh no, what's going to happen?
Right.
You know, to this whole thing, there was a point where I couldn't get the embroidery floss colors that I needed to actually stitch with.
Uh-huh.
So that was a little bit of a panic. And once that lightened up, then that got okay. What's really happened is that on my website, those sales actually went up because people are home trying to figure out what they're going to do. I really thought they would be stitching all their stash, and that has happened a lot.
Why would anybody do that? Now, just why?
I don't know. but it's really been kind of fun, I think, because they are stitching and they're posting them on Facebook, and once one person posts it, then if I know it's been post on Facebook a finish or that they're working on a design, then I find that suddenly five other people want it, which is a wonderful thing.
Right.
So it's been kind of fun that way. I have been getting so many designs in the computer, and I've gotten so many stitched because I can't go anywhere.
Right.
So I'm set for the next year. I could quit today designing or stitching and have everything ready for this coming 2021. I could have it all done as long as it was framed and, you know. Yeah. Ready to go, but it's so I'm way ahead of the game part goes.
That's what I was curious about. Does this kind of a situation put your mind right to the grindstone and you actually start cranking stuff out? Or, you know, for some people it's like, I don't know what I'm going to do, and they're just kind of lost in space. But for you, it's been a real opportunity then.
It has. I really try to keep busy all the time. So I just keep on working so that I don't have to think about other things in life. So it's all been good for me personally. It hasn't bothered me from that standpoint, not being able to go to shows like the Needlework Galleria and, you know, those kinds of things. That's tough. I really love seeing everyone at those shows, and you know, I find inspiration there as well as all kinds of other places. But so I miss those shows and the seeing the other designers, meeting the people, talking to the stitchers, and you know, you included, you're usually at those shows, and yeah. It's just, you know, it's fun to be able to do, and it just kind of takes you away from the actual designing stitching process for a week, and then come home and do it all over again. But I don't know. So that probably is the worst part, is not being able to go do the shows and not being able to travel whenever I want to for going over to England or in anywhere.
Yeah.
You know, we're just getting ready to, we're missing our great niece, but she's getting married actually on our anniversary. And we're going to miss the wedding because we just are really nervous about traveling with the COVID stuff right now. So,
yeah,
you know, those kinds of things, that's what makes it hard. But for the design part, I'm good. Yeah. It's okay.
Yeah, that human interaction, I think even I tend to be kind of a loner, but I have to admit that it's getting, you know, after a while, you know, I'd really like to shake someone's hand if it, you know, just
right.
walk right. up to them and say, hey, how you doing, and shake their hand, you know, and you can't do that. And it's, it's a real struggle. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But, well, I find even just going to the grocery store, I want to get in there and out of there.
Yep. Yeah.
And I don't want to touch anything. I don't want to do anything extra. I just want to get what I need and get out of there. And I don't like that feeling. I do kind of like shopping once in a while, and it's just not fun anymore.
Yeah.
When you're nervous, it's not fun.
Right. Yeah. So. Yeah. It takes it right out of it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you found now through this, you know, you talk about people, and I've seen or talked to other designers who've had the same experience where someone will stitch something these days because they actually have time to, and then all of a sudden there's interest in an old design that has just been sitting in a box somewhere.
Oh yeah. I love it. Yeah. I call them my vintage designs. So, it is nice to be able to do that. To facilitate that a little bit, when I get orders on my website, we usually try to tuck in one at least of those vintage designs. And the fun part is then that somebody, like you said, somebody posted on Facebook or Instagram or whatever and says, you know, that talks about stitching it and how much fun they're having. And so then that old design, vintage, goes out the door.
Right.
And that's nice. I mean, it's nice to be able to get those out of my shipping gal's basement, for one thing.
Right, right.
And, you know, and some of them are fun, but the shops don't carry them anymore because they want all the new stuff. And I get that. That's absolutely fine. That's why I keep creating. But some of those old designs were fun, too. So...
Well, and that,
it's nice to see those go out the door.
Yeah, that's what I wonder about. When those old designs get resurrected, some of them, I'm sure you go, oh, you know, if I did that over today, I'd do this and this. Or maybe they're an inspiration for something new. Does that happen to you?
Well, a little bit. I try very hard not to reuse the same motifs are designs in general over and over again. I try very hard not to do that. Not that it never happens, but I try very hard not to do that so that it's not been seen, or at least in that combination before.
Yeah,
Some of the quicker things are kind of tricky to do that with, because they've been around for, you know, hundreds of years or whatever it is. But so some of those are a little trickier to not use again. But some of the other stuff, I try to make it look new. So I don't go back very much. What's done is done, and I just try to keep moving forward. And I don't know. That's just kind of the way I feel about it. I'm gonna look at colors, and I see those in different places and go, oh, I like that color. Let's play with that. So, yeah, I don't really do too much of that.
Yeah.
Really.
So. Yeah, just for me, it would, I know what I would do is I'd look at some old one and start to self-critique it. And so it sounds to me like you're able to just do them and move on then.
I do, pretty much. I would say, yeah. Yeah, I pretty much do.
Yeah.
It's been there, done that. Let's try something else.
Are you looking in your designs at beads and other embellishments? Is that something that you're doing more of, or do you?
It just depends on what it is. I just did a design called Reindeer Dreams, and it's it's all in the blues, like, you know, the Christmas blues.
Yeah.
So it's in those same colors. It is a sampler. Actually, what happened is that Just Cross Stitch magazine, you know, they have their ornament series, mm-hmm. Christmas ornament magazine. And so they asked me to do one. So I took a motif out of that. And then they asked me for another one for their preview one. So I took another motif out of it and then did a design. But that one has, you know, specialty threads in it. It has beads in it. Some things have charms in them. I really like working with Rainbow Galleries fibers because they make a lot of fun colors that are thin enough to be able to stitch on cross stitch linen and stuff. So I have fun with those in trying to put those into designs. But it just depends on what it is. Some of the samplers, you don't really want that because you want that antique look.
Right.
But, you know, I like to, it just depends on really what my yeah. series is, you know.
Yeah.
I just did Anchors of the Kingdom, and that one is all Rainbow Gallery fibers, so it's all anchors all over the chart, and they almost look wet, which is really a cool look. I thought it was just fun to see it all come together, and I don't know. I just really had fun with that one. And I did it in blacks and copper and gold and silver anchors. And, but they all just have this kind of almost wet look. So that was just fun. So it just depends on what it is, yeah. really.
Yeah, yeah. That I really like that one. That's, that one really spoke to me when you sent me the picture of it. That's yeah. a good one. Yeah. Yeah. I think people, I never appreciated what, the breadth of threads that Rainbow Galleries have.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Holy smokes. It's just, I mean, when you sit down and look at what they have to offer, it's just almost unbelievable.
It is.
Yeah.
They've been great to work with. I've enjoyed working with the people and the threads. So mm-hmm. it's been a good relationship with them. And they help me out a lot with whatever I need for the models. And of course, then they're going to sell, but you know, it's a good relationship. And so it's, and I like the product, so that helps.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a quality to it. That there's a real yeah. good quality to it. I've never picked up a card of any of their stuff and gone, ooh, what happened to this?
Right. So, exactly.
Yeah, no, it's,
exactly.
but just when you look at all, you know, all types of needlework and look at what they have to offer in terms of colors, not only colors, but textures.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can do so much with really any texture that you want. They'll deliver it. It's pretty impressive. Yeah. You know?
It is. They're great.
And of course for shops to try and carry all that. Oh, ouch.
Oh yeah. That can be a challenge, I know, for them. I don't know. I mean, I do try to keep some of those skeins around for my website if people don't have a needlework shop near them, or if shops don't want to carry a big inventory, then they can still get some of those from me. Mm-hmm. So that helps them out a little bit to be able to do that. You know, so that they can, for their end user, you know, the stitchers have got to get it in there somewhere.
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah.
What happens at your home there with, in terms of threads? Do you have basically a store?
I have.
Oh, wait, let me ask your husband.
Yeah, don't, no, please don't. No, our problem is now is that we live in a condo in Florida during the winter, and we come up to Michigan for the summers because it's hot in Florida. So we have to carry all this stuff back and forth in our van. So that part you don't want to talk to him about. No.
Okay.
but I try to keep, I well, again, Rainbow Gallery has these neat cards that you can look at all their colors, which is really nice. So I don't have every one of all their colors. I just tell them what I need, and they send it to me for being able to stitch the model. So right. that's nice. I don't have to carry all that around. DMC, I try to, I keep some of every color that they have, and the colors that I use, I keep more of. Weeks Dye Works, I've got a sample of every one of their colors at the very least, and they're good about sending them to me for models too. So I don't have too much trouble. And Valdani, I have got a selection of their, you know, those little balls of floss, yeah. which are really, I love those. So I have a selection of those that I carry around back and forth. And so that's the tricky part, is taking it from point A to point B and back and forth all the time. But
yeah,
I gotta have it.
Yeah. As a designer though, it's gotta be you want to have as much as possible so that when you have an idea, it's at your fingertips, but
exactly.
then there's a limit to how much you can have too.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Because I don't want to, I have to do sometimes, but I don't like to wait.
Right.
Very patient. I want it now. Well, and if I'm trying to get it out to my stitcher, I try not to give them any deadlines so that they can stitch at their leisure, kind of. But I want to be able to put it all together so that when somebody is ready for their next packet of stitching, I can send it right out and not have to wait for it.
Mm-hmm.
So I try to have enough. Or if I'm going to stitch, I want to be able to have everything in hand to be able to go do that and not have to wait for 2 weeks to get it.
Right.
So, well,
yeah. That's what I was getting at, is as a designer, I'm inspired now. I see it now. I know exactly what I'm going to do. And if I have to wait 2 weeks, yeah, I don't want to. Yeah, I want it.
Well, I don't always have a choice. And like I said, I kind of work almost a year in advance. So like right now, I've got a whole pile of designs that are packaged up and ready to go. And so I always have something to do. I'm not going to be without something to do.
Right.
And if I do, I have a design that I bought in England in 98 or something? I can't remember now. It's a huge piece. And it's all packaged up, and it goes back and forth with me to Florida. And every year that I actually stitch on it, I write and I do a little bitty, little small year so that I know I started that section on that year. So it has a lot of dates on it, and that's my extra one. So
okay.
That one is the only one that I've stitched that lately that's not mine.
Okay.
Is that one. And it's not done. It's not nearly done.
Someday.
Yes, it will. Yeah. Yeah.
Your stitchers, that's a different world there. Having stitchers, I mean, I'm sure that when you find good stitchers that are going to produce what you need, you hang on to them.
I try. Yeah. They are invaluable to me because they point out my mistakes.
Mm.
And unfortunately, neither one of us catch them all. And it's usually me more than is them. But, you know, my one lady that I'm talking about now that is really fast, she will email me. She's a late person, late into the night stitcher too. And she'll email me at 12 or 12:30 at night and say, I found this mistake. Do you want it? Was that intentional or should I change this?
Mm.
So I have to go to my computer and look at it and go, oh, I just didn't cut and paste that one correctly. Here you go. Here's what's supposed to be done. Or she'll tell me, you know, these colors aren't working on this fabric. I mean, I don't sit and stitch a couple of stitches into the fabric. And sometimes you can throw the floss on the fabric and it looks like, it'll be fine. And then when you start stitching with it, it blends into the fabric so much that it there's no point. So yeah. she's really good at being able to talk to me and say, we need to fix this. And those kind of people are the ones that I really like to work with. I had a stitcher early on that stitched it just the way it was on the chart, which was nice, except for the fact that I had cut and pasted and part of a hummingbird's wing was 5 stitches over. Oh. And the other part of the bird was, it was just like, seriously, you didn't think that didn't compute. I don't know. I mean, I ripped it out and did it. It wasn't that much, but it was like, okay, so that's just not going to work for me. I need that backup.
So that collaborative so there really is a collaborative process as the design is coming to fruition, and without that, it's probably a battle then.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And some of them I know I stitched them myself on purpose because, like, for an instance, the seasonal Quakers with the Valdani threads, I stitched all of those myself because I wanted to know that those little 12 little balls of thread were actually going to stitch that entire piece.
Mm-hmm.
And if I saw as I was going along that, oh, I'm running out of this one way too fast, then I can switch and I can change it. So some of those things I need to do myself to make sure that it actually is going to work. Other things with my stitchers, most of the time I feel pretty secure that it's going to work. And sometimes, like I say, whenever my stitchers look at it, they go, maybe not. So, and that's okay. That's what I want them to do. I want them to tell me, that's not going to work. Cause we can make changes. And usually they haven't like stitched the whole thing and then said, it's not going to work.
Right.
They don't want to rip it out either. So
no, nobody does. Yeah.
So
you make a regular practice of doing seasonal series. Do you see those when you start, or do they evolve as you do one?
Both. The seasonal Quakers, I did the first one, which was, I believe the first one ended up being the summer Quakers. I was going to call it Quaker Flowers, and then something in my head switched the name, and I went, no, I'm going to call it Summer Quakers. And then whenever I did it, customers said, so is there going to be a spring and a winter and an autumn? Well, there is now. So. But then I just did one recently that we were traveling in the UK and up near Oxford, and there's this road sign that was pointing to this village called Summer Hill. And I went, oh yeah, here we go. So now I had Spring Hill came out. I'm doing these in order. Spring Hill came out first, Summer Hill, Autumn Hill, Winter Hill. So it's going to be a whole series, but that one just started because I saw a name and went, oh yeah, that'll do. That'll do another seasonal. So, I like them. They're just fun to see what you can do with the seasons and, you know, how you can change the colors and the motifs and whatever to fit. It still make it look like it could go together.
Right.
So,
yeah. I would think the colors there. Okay. I've got a summer one. Now, how would that translate to spring? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 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 And for the Quaker ones, I used different fabrics, different Valdani threads, although everything is pretty much the same size, the colors really made the difference in how they looked and the motifs that I used. But but they were fun to do. So
you're overseas with some frequency when we're allowed out of our country. Do you find a completely different set of inspiration over there? I mean, does
Yeah, you do. Part of it for me is the name thing. First of all, I find it really hard to figure out what I'm going to name something most of the time. That's harder. That's the hardest part of designing to me is figuring out a title for that for that piece. Sometimes I know, and sometimes the title drives the design. But most of the time, it's the opposite way. But what was I going to say? Well, the Summer Hill thing, but there was another something else I was going to say about that.
So there is different inspiration then.
Yeah, when we drive along in England, you know, the first of all, a lot of the houses, most of the houses have names, right? Mm-hmm. And they're just a little bit different and spelled different. Then they're pronounced the same, but they're spelled differently. So that's kind of fun. So I write all those down either in my phone or in my little book, and go back to those. And one of them was one that I released last this spring in at Nashville. It was called Dorney Lane, Dorney Lane, and there was a house name and a street name called Dorney Lane. So mm-hmm. I thought, I like that. I'm going to put that down. So I found a piece that I really thought would go with that. I had it all in my head. And I actually, once I put it on my website, there was a lady from the UK, and this was in Surrey in England, that contacted me. And she said, where did you get the name Dorney? And I said, well, I was actually driving in Surrey and saw the name and liked it and used it. And she said, well, that's where I live. And that's my name. And my last name is Dorney. And I said, oh, well, that's really fun. Hoping she wasn't going to be upset. And she wasn't. She was very nice. But I said, maybe I drove by your house. That might be where I found your name. So,
are the odds of that? Yeah. Wow. Well, see, I'm interested. It interests me because I do a lot of bicycling, a lot of miles.
Right.
And I follow three different people who live in England who do videos all the time about riding in England. And I've only been to London twice. And quite frankly, you can keep it. You know,
big city. Yeah.
Yeah. Just whatever. I don't care. But then when I see their videos outside of London, it's a different world. It's so beautiful. And there's so much character to it and colors and it's just, it makes me want to go there and go to Heathrow and get out as fast as I can. So then it starts, you know, as an artist, I start to think there's got to be a whole, because there's a character to that that you don't see here in the States.
Right.
And it's
very true.
Yeah.
Very true. Well, our daughter lives over there, so we've got grandkids over there. So that's why we're over there. We were before the COVID virus. Quite often to visit and just traveling around the countryside is inspiring in itself. Like you said, for me partly it's the names, but it's the colors, it's the, you know, I'll say quaint, and maybe the British people are not going to like that terminology, but but it is. I mean, when you're seeing thatched roofs and you know, flower gardens that are so pretty, and it's amazing. I do find it to be very inspirational to be over there and I don't like driving on the other side of the road particularly, but the rest of it I like.
So. Well, but that's just it. And this one young lady who does videos, she loves to climb hills and mountains. And all these little cart paths and horse paths and the stone walls. Mm-hmm. And she's one, and she'll do that in her video. She'll focus on all of those little features. And that's where I really have come to appreciate what's over there, because she appreciates it and shares it. And
right.
And she gets into these, you know, these quaint little towns and these little pubs and little stores, and the buildings have so much character to them, and it's just another world. And
it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. I totally agree. Yeah. I don't know. We've been lucky enough to be able to do a lot of exploring over there. And, I actually, found what my only reproduction antique sampler in a small little shop in a small little town in the Cotswolds. And that's my only reproduction sampler I've ever done. But every time I look at it, it just brings a smile to my face because of the day, the town, you know, it just was really neat. And I saw the sampler sitting in this little shop in the upstairs part of this little antique shop. And I thought, you know, I really like that. I'm going to buy it. And then I thought, no, this is ridiculous. I have to take it home. And that, you know, yeah, just yeah. not, I don't do reproductions. What are you thinking? I could not sleep that night. I kid you not. I could not sleep. That sampler was calling to me. So I called my daughter's mother-in-law the next day. She lives near there. And I said, would you mind going and picking that up for me? I think I got to have it. And she said, do you even know how much it is? I said, no. So I called them and talked to them. They told me how much it was. I think it was like 200 pounds or 225 pounds. My daughter's mother-in-law said, now don't pay what they're saying. You want to bargain with them. So I said, I wanted it. I really didn't care. But I said, okay. So I called them and talked to them and I said, you know, I want to make an offer on that sampler that I saw and told them where it was. And I said, I want to offer 200 pounds for it. And they said, well, we'll call you back. So they called me back about an hour later and they said, well, that's the lowest the person will take for it. I said, good, because I'm willing to pay that. So she went and picked it up for me. I gave her my credit card number and she went and picked it up for me. But I had it evaluated by, I can't remember their names, I'm sorry, the people who come to Nashville and sell the antique samplers and needlework tools and all that.
Oh, yes, yes.
I can't think of their name right now. I can see their face. But anyway, and they, when I opened the bag that I had it in and showed it to them, they both said, oh my. And uh-oh. I went, oh, I think this is good. I said, is that good? And they said, yeah, where did you get that? And I told them my story and they said, oh, I said, well, how much do you think that's worth retail? And they said, at least $800. And I said, oh, wow. Mm. So, yeah. So I got a good sampler, and I love the little verse that's on it. It's by an 11-year-old girl named Hannah Bacon. And it's my 6 degrees of separation from Kevin Bacon, I think. But I'm going with that thought anyway.
Yeah, yeah. So,
but I love it. It's fun. But that's one of those good memories of England that I have. And luckily someone else is driving me around that knows how to drive on the other side of the road. So we lived there for 2 years. So I did do it then. But you come back to the States and all that goes away pretty fast.
Yeah, I'm sure it does. Yeah.
It's yeah.
Every turn you have to stop and think, wait a minute, which way?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Karen, thank you. This has been fun.
It was great talking to you again.
We need to do this more frequently than every 2 years.
Well, yeah, but maybe. No, I'm game pretty much any time. Yeah. So I'm here doing my thing.
Yep.
So,
well,
yeah.
Appreciate the time. Enjoy the conversation. And let's hope we're both at Nashville in the spring. That would be good.
Oh, my goodness. I hope so.
Yeah.
I hope so. Yeah. I want to get back to whatever normal is again.
Yes. So. Yep.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks to everyone for listening.
Thank you. And take care, everybody.